Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Tim, I got some serious business this episode, and I don't got time to fuck around.
Oh, but I have all this fuckery planned.
I know, but you're going to have to put it on the back burner.
Back burner fuckery?
Back burner fuckery, and not even that being the worst thing, I'm also changing the format of this podcast for this episode.
Oh, I can't handle all this.
No, I'm going to let you talk about both of your movies, and then I'm going to talk about both of my movies.
Oh my god.
Yep, I fucked everything up, but it's very important that I fuck this up, and you'll understand why in a scant few minutes.
You're fucking it all up.
It's all fucked.
It's all fucked. All right, so you want me to do both of mine first?
That's right.
All right, then.
Unprecedented.
I can play along with this madness. I like your back burner fuckery. And speaking of fuckery, here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for Santo, the Fury of the Karate Masters?
Oh, this is so exciting. Yes, I am.
Also known as La Furia de los Karatectas.
That's how I know it.
I was going to say, that's probably how you know it.
That's right.
This is from the second best year of the 80s, 1982. I watched this on the 28th. I'm laughing already. This the 28th of October. Your IMDb minutes, an hour 27. See, you got me all flustered.
It's impressive how badly I fucked you up here.
You and your fuckery. How many times will we say fuckery? Genre fuckery. Action, adventure, sci-fi, directed by Alfredo B. Crevagna, starring Santo.
Yay.
Grace Renat and Cesar Sobralas. Your IMDb movie summary. Santo gets involved in a fight between two sisters over a powerful crystal from space.
Yay!
This movie is such ass.
The other Santo movie you reviewed relatively favorably. Okay.
I absolutely love the other one. Blue Demon with them, and they were like old-fashioned noir detectives.
Yes.
That was the shit.
Yes, but okay. I wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy.
You're not crazy. Okay. That was great. This one, however, I should have known. Space crystals? All right. So my only bullet point is Santo is way better as a detective.
Fair enough. I love that.
Yep. What made me pick this one, it wasn't that description, believe it or not. It was the box art and the fact that there's an evil luchador that he fights in this one. I was like, oh, they're going to actually have like a bad guy that he constantly fights that's a luchador. It's like a head goon. And those fights were real bad.
Feels a lot like Santo trends in the same direction as Godzilla.
I think so. I think that's fair. I mean, he's a little older here, but not so much that he should be so much worse than he was when he fought Dracula and the werewolf.
Right, exactly.
This movie's just bad. It's like him running around an island. I feel like there's only like two set pieces. He's trying to help the good sister, essentially. She's about to get married, all this stuff. He got invited because he's a celebrity. He parachutes in. It's a whole thing. Watching a luchador in a parachute was pretty cool. He's got
that
his whole
getup
on, mask on, whole getup on. He's got the cape and everything, and he's trying to use a parachute. Fucking awesome.
That is awesome.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he actually did the shot and the stunt himself. But after that, it's all downhill. The evil sister just does, like, I don't know, weird laughs and belly dancing most of the time. They have the space crystal they dance around. It's real fucking bad. The fight scenes with the luchador, it's a lot of, like, basic chops and strong guy holds and just lame as shit. I mean, they all have their place, but not in this movie.
Right.
And I was so sad. I was like, man, the karate masters. Where does the karate come in? Where does the mastery come in?
Right.
It really felt like all they wanted was to watch the one woman dance around a lot in, like, a bikini, trying to summon the space devil or whatever the fuck the point of this was. I don't even know. But, and I watched it, and I still don't know. This is Santo getting close to trauma levels. So
ouch.
I was not thrilled. And we'll leave it at that. So IMDb, give it a 4.3. No Rotten Tomato critical score or audience score. They're smarter than I am. I gave it a 3 out of 10. So sad.
That is sad. Especially coming, like you said, coming off of a really, like, surprisingly good previous entry.
Yep. I think if he's not alone and he's a detective, I'm in, you know?
Right. But that's fair.
Yeah. That Spanish werewolf was so good in that other one.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. Well, Max, I got another movie.
Whoa.
You and your fuckery.
Yep.
I would have ended good, too. All right, here we go. You ready?
Okay.
The year is 1989. Harlem Nights.
Hmm.
Have you seen Harlem Nights?
Not in a very, very long time.
And that's the boat I was in, so I was like, ah, I got to see this. I remember it being good. So I watched this on the 30th of October. IMDb minutes, 1 hour 56. Genre comedy crime drama, directed by Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
Starring Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, and Red Fox, to just name a few.
Yeah, this cast is outrageous.
It is. Your IMDb movie summary: during the 1930s, a New York City illegal gambling house owner and his associates must deal with strong competition, gangsters, and corrupt cops in order to stay in business. My bullet points, this is probably, I feel strongly that this is my favorite Eddie Murphy performance.
Wow.
It's got his comedy and his wit and that classic 80s Eddie Murphy where he was really on point, but it's also kind of like him doing a movie he wants to do, and it has such a personal touch to him.
That's awesome. Yeah, it makes sense.
Right, and he's clearly working with greats of comedy in Red Fox and Richard Pryor. Like, he put people in this movie that he liked and gave the, and some of these people had been not in movies, or a lot of them were musicians even, and it's like, you're gonna be in my movie because you're fucking awesome.
Right. Right, exactly. It's like, I'm gonna just turn the camera on and we're all gonna be awesome, and you guys are gonna inspire me to be awesome, which is super exciting.
And I think he's very successful with that. Danny Aiello is so good as the corrupt cop. He just chews the scenery. He's such a scumbag asshole. He is awesome. He does have some of the harder lines to witness because he does a lot of that hard R racism in
yes.
this movie. But that would be his character.
Right.
And, you know, the disrespect for black people in general in this time. So it's interesting because it's like, oh man, he represents like the country at the time. And it's just kind of like, oh yeah, you guys are doing okay for, you know, a bunch of black people. And it's like, ugh, God, why?
Right, exactly. And I think it's cool to shout out that, keep in mind, I know, like, we talked a lot about Quentin Tarantino being problematic for his use of certain words and certain phrasing for different groups of people. And it's important to call out that, like, the point was that, you know what I mean, Eddie helmed this movie, and he's like, listen, this exists, and we have to acknowledge it and face it head on. This was a real problem at the time, and still to a large degree is a problem. It's either we can ignore it and try to be better people, or when it comes to art and, you know, kind of expressing it, we have to sometimes tackle it head on and go, yeah, this is difficult, because it is difficult.
Right, and I like both him and Pryor have a lot of good moments with Aiello, and once he, like, leaves the scene, you get the aftermath of them just, like, you know, that never gets shown in the movie, just like, oh, how do they feel about all this that they just had to endure? And, you know, they kind of, they have such good chemistry, both Eddie Murphy and Richard Pryor together. But this movie is, like you said, insane. It also stars Michael Lerner, Della Reese, Stan Shaw, and Arsenio Hall. And Arsenio Hall has the funniest, best moment in this whole movie, where they are trying to shoot Eddie Murphy, and two of them have Tommy guns, and one guy, their driver, just has a tiny little handgun. And, like, this, he's crying, he's upset, and he's shooting at him. And they just keep shooting at him, and they're missing him like crazy. They're all upset. And he just keeps, the driver gets out and just keeps one single shot every once and again. He goes, stop firing that tiny shit. And oh my God, it is the funniest scene, because it's a very, like, dramatic scene, a very powerful scene. But I'm like, wait, they're going for laughs here with the driver, aren't they? And, like, they turn this very, like, poignant scene into this laugh fest that you just don't expect. It's really good. But to sum up the movie, it's basically the white gangsters are getting upset because the black club owners are having so much success with their gambling and their music and their whores and all of this stuff. I mean, they're not necessarily, well, they're good people, but they're running an illegal business, and they want a cut of it as well. So the minute they start coming in on it, Pryor's like, man, we should just leave and go to another town. And Eddie Murphy's like, I don't think so, man. I think we can do this. And it's a power struggle. It's a very, very good movie.
Awesome.
Yep. So I'll leave you with that, but I encourage anybody who is like, Eddie Murphy, he's okay. No, watch this. This is, like, amazing. So IMDb gives it a 6.1 out of 10. The critics, 38 critics, they hate this movie, and I don't get it. They gave it a 26%.
Holy shit.
That's bonkers to me. The audience, though, 25,000 plus, give this an 80%.
Sounds more on point.
It is, because I agree. I gave this an 8 out of 10. This movie is fucking good.
That is awesome.
No fuckery to be had.
No fuckery to be had.
No fuckery.
All right, Tim, I'm going to unveil to you why my fuckery about this episode is existing onto this episode.
It best be some good fuckery.
So I watched two movies that are extraordinarily similar in dealing with the same subject matter, but tackle it in completely different ways.
Okay.
So on October 27th, 2023, I watched the film Five Nights at Freddy's.
Okay.
And on Halloween, October 31st, 2023, I watched the Nicolas Cage vehicle, Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah, that is the same movie, isn't it?
It is. So Five Nights at Freddy's was from 2023. It is 1 hour and 50 minutes. It's a horror film directed by Emma Tammy, starring Josh Hutcherson, Matthew Lillard, and Elizabeth Lail. And Willy's Wonderland is from 2021. It is 1 hour and 28 minutes. It's a horror action film directed by Kevin Lewis, starring Nicolas Cage, Lailee Cowan, and Emily Tosta. So they both deal with the same premise. They both deal with kind of the animatronic style dancing characters from Chuck E. Cheese slash the bears, the dancing bears, Jamboree at Disney. Yep. This kind of animatronic, slightly off-putting, supposed to be endearing to children, but is actually creepy as shit. So Five Nights at Freddy's is based on a video game franchise. If you are not familiar, it is a horror series of games that are built around you being a security guard at this Chuck E. Cheese equivalent. Willy's Wonderland is about Nicolas Cage, who is a drifter, who is kind of hoodwinked into working at this Chuck E. Cheese style establishment called Willy's Wonderland that is actually kind of, the animatronics are actively like haunted and are attempting to kill people on the regular, and the town like kind of quote unquote sacrifices people by kind of destroying their car, footing them with this insane bill to fix their car with the one local mechanic and go, oh, well, if you work here for the night, I'll pay for your car repairs. No problem. We'll call it even. We just need you to go clean this place up overnight.
Okay.
So it's kind of a facade to have people sacrificed to this, like what was a former child rapist and murderer. And they just throw people there to keep him from his, like, I guess, supernatural power bleeding out into the small town around this place. Five Nights at Freddy's, however, is about a facility called Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria that has to do with, this is a tough one, so I'll kind of review this one at the same time. So, speaking strictly from the movie, which kind of goes light, like weaves in and out of the video game ethos and mythos, it's about a character who needs a job, so he lands a job as an overnight security guard in this place. It's long since been shut down, but the owner retains the kind of, just keeps the maintenance up on it, keeps it there, and hires a temp agency to supply him with security guards just to make sure nobody breaks in and does anything foolish.
Okay.
So our main character in this movie has difficulty. He lost his parents. He is taking solo care of his sister. He's probably in his like early 30s. And you find out that he has a lot of trauma because his brother was kidnapped when he was a child from a campground. Okay. And so he has like these sleep issues, and he gets a job as a security guard. He can't work overnights because he has these sleeping issues, and he takes care of his sister, but he does it anyway because he can't hold on to a job. So this temp agent's like, listen, this is your last shot for real. And then I'm out of jobs for you.
Wow.
So he's trying to make it work, and they tie this into like the Five Nights at Freddy's where the animatronics are coming to life. Well, it turns out the animatronics are actually kind of like pseudo good, but they're being corrupted by an evil presence that kind of forces them into doing these terrible things to people. And it's like trying to be very elevated in its horror, and it's trying to tell this very complex story with a lot of emotion, but it also feels like studio notes came in and were just like scribbling things out and making it way too nonsensical. Like to the point where the evil presence is the job temp agent who's played by Matthew Lillard, and he also is the one responsible for the main character's brother's kidnapping.
Oh, jeez.
When that happened, I was done. I was like, this feels like a studio note. Like, can't we just have that guy also be the guy who kidnapped the boy? So I found out that lightly kind of adjacently makes sense in a storyline if you go into the sequels and kind of really push a couple of things together. But it felt so forced in this movie. Like, it's trying so hard to be elevated. It has one jump scare in the whole movie.
Really?
The video game is predicated on a series of jump scares. That's what makes it fun to play. And it's like, if they had pulled back on the horror, like the elevated horror they were trying to do, and instead focused on being a little bit more true to the video game with the themes and the tone, I think it would have been a lot more successful than it was. It was not a bad film. It just tried to pretend to be something that it wasn't, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
Like, it was trying really, really hard to put on this facade of being this, you know what, we're definitely this high elevated horror that is, you got to be sophisticated to understand it. And it's like, this is about Chuck E. Cheese coming to life and eating people. Like, there's really not a whole lot here. Now, obviously, over the franchise history of these video games, they've developed their own storylines. But it's really not complicated, and you guys managed to kind of fuck that up by trying to be too highbrow.
Such a weird decision.
Yeah. Cut to Willy's Wonderland, where...
Which I'm guessing you liked better and is going to win the war.
So we have Nicolas Cage in this movie. I will tell you right now, Nicolas Cage has no lines of dialogue in the entire film.
What?
He does not speak in this entire film. Therefore, it's one of the best Nicolas Cage roles of all time. But he plays this character who has to drink soda every hour.
Okay.
Like, he will stop. He will stop in the middle of fighting these creatures to go drink the soda in the refrigerator.
Okay. That's awesome.
I don't understand why. It never explains why.
You know what? That's almost better.
It's so strange. So it turns out that these things are evil. It's an evil, like, child torturer and rapist who has taken over and kind of possessed these characters in this Chuck E. Cheese equivalent, Willy's Wonderland. And it's just, this felt like somebody got really fucked up and was like, hey, man, wouldn't it be fucking nuts if you had to fight these goddamn animatronics and they were, like, trying to rape you? That's what it felt like. And they were just like, let's never abandon this exact vision or try to make this movie more complex than that.
Oh, God.
Okay. So it's just, this movie suffers because it tries to punch really far out of its weight class. Its budget was very sparse, and they try a lot of different techniques to make these suits not look horrible in these, like, kind of ambitious fight scenes with Nicolas Cage. Okay. So it kind of tries to do too much, and I feel like if they had taken some time and been like, that's a cool idea. Like, yeah, we had a great night that night. We were really messed up, but I still think there's the kernel of an idea here that could be something. But let's actually workshop it and try to make it into a movie. Instead, it's just kind of like, well, the town tries to trap people to get them to stay there, and that's it. That's the end. And all the rest is just the, wouldn't it be fucked up if they had to fight the animatronics in here? That is as much as they were interested in this movie. The problem was they didn't have the resources put behind. If they had just scrapped Nicolas Cage and put in anybody else and hired a stunt or martial arts performer to be like, okay, this is what we want to do. How do we make this happen? It could have been really interesting. But instead, they're just like, well, we need Nicolas Cage to sell seats. So it feels like out of their $5 million budget, I would guess Nicolas Cage is probably around $3 million of it.
Sure.
And there's no meat left on the bone in this film. Like, it's really shitty. When it get, like, it's trying to not be, and you want to root for this movie to do good. Like, I'm like, man, I want this movie to be something. It just never turns out to be anything, unfortunately.
Dang.
So you have this kind of central set piece of these fucked up, scary kids animatronics. You have two movies that are trying to attack it in what could not be the more opposite fashion.
Right.
And I'll kind of get to the scores now on both, and I'll run through the scores for each one, and then I'll do my rating at the end.
Okay.
So IMDb for Five Nights at Freddy's is a 5.5 out of 10. IMDb score for Willy's Wonderland is a 5.5 out of 10.
Hell yeah.
Rotten Tomato critics for Five Nights at Freddy's, 208 critics, 31%. Rotten Tomato critics for Willy's Wonderland, 92 critics, 61%. Audience for Five Nights at Freddy's, 2,500 plus at the time of this recording, 87%.
Oh, wow.
Audience for Willy's Wonderland, 1,000 plus, 68%.
All right. Well, I trust that a little more.
So that is an average score for Willy's Wonderland of a 59%. It is an average, or sorry, for Five Nights at Freddy's, the average score is a 59%. Willy's Wonderland, the average score is a 65%.
Oh, shit.
My score for both films is the same score. It happens to be exactly IMDb's score. It is a 5.5. out of 10. Both of these movies miss the mark on what they're trying to accomplish, but they miss it for drastically different reasons.
I like that these ended up on the episode together.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it despite my fuckery.
The best kind of fuckery.
Woohoo!
Nicolas Cage fuckery.
I don't know if that's the best kind, but that's certainly an kind.
You're right. Well, thank you for the fuckery.
Fuckery accomplished.
Da, 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 da. Oh, goodness.